This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. In Dallas, a Liberian man is being treated for Ebola. Doctors in Dallas failed to recognize the virus when the man came in for treatment and released him with antibiotics. He came into contact with friends and neighbors, including school children, before returning to the hospital with more serious symptoms. Anyone the man came into physical contact with while he showed symptoms of Ebola is being monitored for the next 21 days. Dr. Jeff Duchin has been watching the news from Dallas with more than casual interest. He's the head of communicable disease control at Public Health Seattle King County. He says that King County is better prepared than Dallas to deal with Ebola cases.
It would not be surprising if at some point someone with Ebola came to King County, and I feel confident that we would be able to identify, isolate that person, to identify their contacts and to trace them and make sure that they're not ill and give them the appropriate guidance if they become ill to minimize any risk of transmission.
Duchin says he's confident because King County has been training for years to respond to other virally transmitted diseases like pandemic influenza, SARS outbreaks, biological terrorism.
And all the types of capacities that you need for those things are very, very similar to what you need for Ebola. Basically, good communication, ability to identify and isolate patients, to do good contact tracing, and to have good infection control precautions in our regional healthcare facilities.
Duchin acknowledges that Ebola is different. He says the number of cases in West Africa is doubling every 3 weeks. We may have 1 million cases by the end of the year.
So what's changed is that Ebola virus infection, which used to be limited to very small areas of Africa and did not spread out of the area where it exists in nature, in the jungle, is now potentially a disease that we're going to have to be aware of and be prepared to deal with on a long-term basis.
Dr. Jeff Duchin, head of communicable disease control at Public Health, Seattle, King County. Adam Lucy Hulbert runs a lab at the Benaroya Research Institute at Virginia Mason up on First Hill in Seattle. 2 years ago, his lab received federal funding to study the Ebola virus. The National Institutes of Health feared that viruses like Ebola could be engineered into biological weapons. Lacey Hulbert and his team have been trying to develop a sort of armor for cells to improve the infection resistance of aid workers and people in the hot zone.
Really, what we were very interested in was trying to understand more basic mechanisms of how viruses get into cells and how we can stop that, to try and develop drugs that would counter many viruses. And I think what really changed the mood in the lab was it becoming apparent that there was another outbreak, which sort of happened at the beginning of this year. And then I think the thing that really made a difference was realizing how big that outbreak was. That was really the sort of wake-up call, the sort of call to arms for us to say, you know, we should really ramp up our efforts and try to get things moving as quickly as possible so that potentially we can begin to come up with drug targets that may make a difference.
What's the difference between what you do and what someone who's working to create a vaccine for Ebola does?
Well, a vaccine against Ebola is, the idea of a vaccine is to train the immune system to go in and target, neutralize the virus itself. So one of the things that the immune system does is to make antibodies. These are proteins that float around in the blood, and they would encounter virus and bind directly to that virus and then target it to be degraded by the body and prevent it from infecting cells. What we're trying to do is find drugs that will actually work on the cells that will be infected and make those cells resistant to being infected. So something that would effectively give those cells an additional layer of armor to stop the virus actually entering those cells, or if the virus did enter those cells, stop it from replicating and making new virus. So that's really a difference. We're not trying to train the immune system to fight the virus. We're trying to train all the cells that would get infected to fight the virus.
Now, you work kind of upstream from folks who are actually working with the viruses, if I understand that correctly. So could you explain what it is you do and how it relates to people who are actually working with the viruses?
In the lab, we don't actually use live Ebola virus. What we use is a sort of, it's a kind of fake Ebola virus. It's another virus which isn't harmful to people at all, but it's coated with the proteins that normally coat the surface of the Ebola virus. So it looks like Ebola to cells, but it actually isn't Ebola, so it's quite safe to work with.
But if you can stop the Ebola-like virus, you can stop real Ebola.
Real Ebola.
Having any progress?
We have a number of potential targets that we're beginning to follow up now. So the approach that we have really is to try to identify things that might be involved in this process and then match them to potential treatments that might be out there. So I think what we're realizing is that in diseases like Ebola, where outbreaks are relatively rare, but there's always the possibility of an outbreak and a possibility of an outbreak getting out of control and becoming an epidemic, any drug that one could find that would slow that process of infection or block that process of infection really is something that's potentially very useful. But the cost of developing completely new treatments for every single one of these viruses that may at some point become an epidemic is prohibitive. So finding ways in which we can repurpose other drugs for use in Ebola might be useful.
Adam Lacy-Hulbert is my guest. He's an associate member at the Brenner Royer Research Institute at Virginia Mason, and they're doing some work on trying to find a way to help stop Ebola. Now, you're working with an inert version of the Ebola virus that's not contagious, but I understand you're in touch with other researchers who are doing work more closely with the virus itself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what's that like for them?
From what I understand, it's similar to the feelings that we have, but sort of amplified. I mean, there are people who work with live virus. They're trained to work with the sort of levels of containment that you need to work with the live virus. And suddenly there is a major outbreak where people with those skills would be really useful, both in doing research in the field about the virus and potentially also treating the virus. So I've heard of a number of people who are involved in that area who are really keen to get out to Africa and really get involved in the research and the treatment process because they have the skills to use the protection mechanisms against the viruses. The sadder side of this is that there are also some research workers, health research workers, who actually have who have become infected with the virus during the course of their work and actually then died from Ebola. So that really, again, brings home that the human cost of this epidemic isn't just the people who are dying from the virus or the health workers caring for those people, but also there are researchers who are directly inadvertently exposed to the virus and involved in that.
So you started studying Ebola because of fears that it would be weaponized. Now it turns out that weaponization wasn't the problem, just an outbreak was the problem. What's that say?
I think it says that you never know what's going to come up. You never know what's coming next year or the year after particularly in terms of infectious disease. You don't know what new virus, what new strain of flu, what new infectious disease may come up. I think it also says that it's important in science to move forward in many different areas, answering questions that you don't necessarily know immediately whether the answers to those questions are going to be useful. But we know that, you know, general science progress, if it's good science and it's answering important questions, then eventually there will come a time when what we're discovering is going to be important and useful. And you can't predict that. We need to move forward in all areas of science. And there will be a use for the things that we discover.
Adam Lacy-Hulbert, he's with the Brenner Royer Research Institute at Virginia Mason. They're working kind of upstream from folks. They're trying to figure out some ways to deal with the Ebola outbreak. Thank you very much for coming by.
Thank you.
This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.